हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाया। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाया। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाया। So we're reading from this fourth canto, chapter 24, entitled Chanting the Song Sung by Lord Shiva, text number 8 to 10. So I'll go through 8 and 9 myself, and then we can recite text 10. Havirtanatta virthani vidurasuta satsutam varhishadam gayam shuklam krishnam satyam jitavratam. Havirdhana, the son of Maharaj Antardhana, had a wife named Havirdhani, who gave birth to six sons, named Varishat, Gaya, Shukla, Krishna, Satya, and Jitavrata. Varhishatsu Mahabhago Havirdhani Prajapati, Kriya Kandeshu Nishnato, Yogeshu Cha Kurutvaha. The great sage Maitreya continued, "My dear Vidura, Havirdhana's very powerful son named Varhishat was very expert in performing various kinds of fruitive sacrifices, and he was also expert in the practice of mystic yoga. By his great qualifications, he became known as Prajapati." There is a short purport. In the beginning of the creation, there were not many living entities, and consequently, the very powerful living entities, or demigods, were appointed as Prajapatis in order to beget children and increase the population. There are many Prajapatis. Brahma, Daksha, and Manu are sometimes known as Prajapatis. And Varishat, the son of Havirdhana, became one of them. So now, this text. Yasyedam deva yajanam, yasyedam deva yajanam, anuyagyam vintam vataha, anuyagyam vintam vataha, prachinagrahi kushay Asi, Prachina Grai Kushar Asi, Ashtritam Vasudha Talam, Ashtritam Vasudha Talam, Yasyadam Deva Yajanam. Anujagyam vitam vataha, Achinagrai kushairasi, Astritam vasudatalam, Yasyedam deva yajanam, Anujagyam vitam vataha, Achinagrai Kusharasi Astritam Vasudatalam.
Vaishnavis.
Yasyedam.
Yasyedam.
So yasya.
Yasya.
Whose.
Whose.
Idam.
Idam.
This.
This.
Devayayanam.
Devayayanam.
Satisfying the demigods by sacrifices. Anuyagyam. Continually sacrificing. Itambataha. Executing. Prachina agrahi.
Keeping the Kusha grass.
Facing toward the eastern side. Kushaihi. The Kusha grass. Asit. Remained. Astritam. Scattered. Vasudhatalam. All over the surface of the globe. Translation on purpose by His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Maharaj Parikshit executed many sacrifices all over the world. He scattered Kusha grasses and kept the tops of the grasses pointed eastward. As stated in the previous verse, Kriya Kandeshu Nishnataha, Maharaj Parikshit dive very deeply into the fruitive activities of sacrifice. This means that as soon as he finished one yagya in one place, he began performing another yagya in the immediate vicinity. At the present moment, there is a similar need to perform Sankirtan yagya all over the world. The Krishna Consciousness Movement has started performing Sankirtan yagya in different places, and it has been experienced that wherever Sankirtan yagya is performed, many thousands of people gather and take part in it. Imperceptibly, auspiciousness achieved in this connection should be continued all over the world. The members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement should perform Sankirtan yagyas one after another. So much so that all the people of the world will either jokingly or seriously chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And thus they will derive the benefit of cleansing the heart. The holy name of the Lord, Harinam, is so powerful that whether it is chanted jokingly or seriously, the effect of vibrating this transcendental sound will be equally distributed. It is not possible at the present moment to perform repeated yagyas as Maharaj Parikshit performed, but it is within our means to perform Sankirtan yagya, which does not cost anything. One can sit down anywhere and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. If the surface of the globe is overflooded with the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, the people of the world will be very, very happy. So before I begin, I would like to request the blessings of the Vaishnavas that I may say something for my own purification and your own inspiration. So we are hearing, entering a new chapter. We just heard how Prithu Maharaj returned home, went back to Godhead. This is a conversation that is taking place between Maitreya and Vidura. And Maitreya was relating the descendants of Swayambhuva Manu. I was thinking of you. We just read a purport. You were there. Okay. So the conversation between Vidura and Maitreya, and now he's continuing describing the descendants of Maharaj Prithu, of whom Maharaj Antardhana is prominent. He's been described, actually, his name is, what's this? Antardhana, because he actually has received the mystic potency from Indra that he could disappear at his will. When King Indra was stealing the sacrifice from the, you know, Ashwamedha sacrifice, Antardhana, he saw him, but he didn't do anything. And King Indra became very pleased with him, and he gave him this benediction by which he could disappear at his will. So now in this chapter, we're going to hear about the descendant, the son of Maharaj Antardhana, who was Varishat, which will be the person who Narada Muni is going to preach to, the famous allegory of King Puranjana. We're going to hear two preaching sessions, one to Maharaj Varishat and another one to the Prachetas. The Prachetas were the sons of Varishat. So this is what's happening in the Bhagavatam. Now in this particular purport, we hear how Maharaj Varishat, well, in the text, he was executing many sacrifices all over the world. And Prabhupada is making great emphasis on the importance of Sankirtan Yajna and the benefits of it. So I was reading in the famous verse in the 11th canto, Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishna Sangopangastra Parshadam Yagya Sankirtana Aprajai. So it says that Yayanti hi Sumedasa. It says that intelligent people, Sumeda, it says that intelligent people in the age of Kali, they worship the personality of Godhead who constantly chants the name of Krishna by congregational chanting. Yagyai Sankirtana Prayai Yayanti hi Sumedasa. And it is described that this, Jiva Goswami explains how this word Krishna Varnam, it refers to Lord Chaitanya, who is always, constantly, has Krishna's names in his lips. He's always chanting the holy name. And it is described that he comes along with his associates and with his weapons, Sango Pangastra Parshanam. And what is the main weapon that Lord Chaitanya brings? That Lord Chaitanya has? What is his main weapon? His beauty. He's so attractive that anyone who comes in touch with him, they also begin to chant the holy names of Krishna. It is described also that another, of course, Lord Chaitanya is the embodiment of all wonderful qualities, but there are some that are particularly mentioned. And another one is his humility. When he was invited to this, he was in Varanasi, and he was invited to this meeting with all the Mayavadi sannyasis. And he sat down with all, where all the shoes are kept. And, he was so effulgent that all the Mayavadis were thinking, who is this person? And when they approached him, why are you sitting here? He said, well, I belong to a lower rank of, sannyas. He said, I don't deserve to sit on the same level. But he was speaking to them so sweetly that the Mayavadis, they became completely, melted. They melted, just by Lord Chaitanya's sweet words, which is like a nice, instruction for us. When we preach, we should, be like Lord Chaitanya's sweet words, and then we can gain. The Mayavadis were like thinking that he was like a sentimentalist, But however, when they saw him so beautiful and he was speaking such sweet words, they treated him with great respect. So he comes, and what is the purpose of his coming is to propagate the chanting of Hare Krishna mantra. So he says that whoever was coming in touch with him, they were also chanting the holy name. And the great benediction is that, just by chanting the holy name in this age, such a simple, joyous process, one can attain the highest goal, the highest benediction. He says that he's come to give what no other incarnation has given before. So in the verses that follow that particular verse in the 11th canto, it is described Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga is such a difficult situation. We've been harassed, you know, it's so many calamities are taking place. Material world is certified, right? But Krishna, he's already saying that it's a place of misery. It's Dukalayam Ashasvatam. When I first came to India, when I first started staying permanently here, I realized this Alaya, like what is the name of the chemist, is Osadalaya, isn't it? Osalaya? It's a place where they sell medicines, right? So Dukalaya. Dukkha means miseries. Dukalaya, a place for miseries. So this is the material world. It's a place of miseries. Unavoidable. Being the body, being not the body, guaranteed that miseries are going to come. But then in Kali Yuga, particularly more, because in Kali Yuga, so many sinful activities are being, you know, they're being performed constantly. So people are constantly harassed by sinful reactions. So therefore, you know, what a benediction, Kali Yuga, what is good about Kali Yuga? But the good thing about it, actually, that Kali Yuga is being praised by the sages. Why? Because in Kali Yuga, people can really take shelter of the Holy Name. The Holy Name is available always, in every Yuga. Also in Satya Yuga is available. But in Satya Yuga, practically there is no sinful activity going on. So therefore, people are, you know, not so much harassed. So they hear about the Holy Name and they don't consider that, you know, this process is so relevant, just moving your lips and your tongue. They prefer to engage in meditation and different process. So they don't take shelter of the Holy Name. But in Kali Yuga, because people are being, we are in Kali Yuga, we are being so harassed by, you know, so many different things. Like in Kali Yuga, we can see how everything is deteriorating. Our health is deteriorating. People has no mercy. You know, Prabhupada describes in the Bhagavatam that one of the reasons why the duration of life is reduced is because over-dependence on another's mercy. In Kali Yuga, we have to depend on another's people's mercy, but people has got no mercy. So it's like, you know, we see that in the West, you know, people are so much in anxiety, I'm going to lose my job, or my, you know, we're depending on so many things. So people are being harassed. So in that condition, then one can chant the Holy Name with a sincere feeling. So it is described that the people in Satya Yuga, they're actually praying that they will take, not all the people, but those who are aware of this, they're praying that they can take birth in Kali Yuga. Such a benediction. So it is interesting to see how, you know, material distress is actually a benediction. We don't see it like that, right? We don't see when suffering comes our way, we don't see that this is actually going to help me in my spiritual life. But actually, this is a great benediction. I just received an email by Sri Prabhu. He sends these very nice emails with different meditations, different thoughts. And he sent one just like a couple of days ago. I thought, well, this is just very relevant for this. He was saying that we must practice tolerance. He says, with any other practice, you know, when you practice, you develop the ability, you know, if you practice tolerance, you develop your ability to tolerate. Like when you do some, you know, muscle exercises, your muscle becomes stronger. So he was saying that to practice tolerance, one doesn't have to make any, you know, special arrangement, you know. Everything, you know, the whole situation is arranged in such a way that we can practice tolerance. You know, it's every day, right? So many things come our way. But he was saying that, you know, what do we do to practice tolerance? And he says that, you know, one should welcome when difficulties come our way. We should actually be prepared to greet them. Because it's a fact that some difficulty is going to come our way, either today or tomorrow or next week. These things come unsolved. But you know, the tendency we have is, what I have, is to, you know, like, rebel against it. We rebel against the fact that these things are happening, it's unfair, it shouldn't be like this. But actually, in Krishna consciousness, we understand that there is like axiomatic truth. You know, I like when I'm reading Prabhupada's books, I like to extract principles that I can live by, that they can assist me in my spiritual life. And one axiomatic truth about Krishna consciousness, and Prabhupada says that many, many places in his books, is that Krishna is going, he wants to help his devotee. He helps his devotee. If someone is sincerely trying to serve him, Krishna is going to make arrangements for that person to become free from the clutches of Maya. This is axiomatic, you can't change it. So whatever situation happens into our lives, if we are in this frame of consciousness, that actually, yeah, Krishna, I want to serve you. And I want to become your devotee. You know, I have these anarthas are standing in the way, but really deep in my heart, I want to become your devotee. And whatever comes, when it comes, we see it as Krishna's mercy. We see it as an opportunity to become free from that, Prabhupada describes as like material fever. What is the material fever? The material fever is that I am the controller. I am the enjoyer. The whole world, you know, like, what is it, goes circles around me. It's meant for my enjoyment. So when Lord Chaitanya, when he was going around and he was preaching and he was chanting the holy name and he was giving the holy name, what is the effect of the holy name? What is it meant to do when we chant Hare Krishna mantra? It's meant to sever that hard knot within the heart, that I am the controller, that I am the enjoyer, and change it for I am Krishna's eternal servant. Yeah. I am Krishna's eternal servant. This is the effect. We become free from all misconceptions of I and mine. And it is described when we become free from this material fever, then what is the result? That whatever circumstance we may find ourselves in, we're able to tolerate that. We're not so affected by material circumstances. So it's such an important principle because we have to, you know, is, as I said, the material world is designed in such a way that we're going to be harassed by disturbances. So it is described that the same man, what does the same man does? He learns to not be disturbed by these things. And if you actually put it into practice, you know, I have actually practiced it myself because I travel a lot on my own, and when traveling on your own, nearly every time something happens, you know, something, and you're, you know, at the beginning it was such a, remember the first time it was my suitcase broke, you know, the wheels, and I was like, oh, you know, in the middle of Mumbai. But then it happened again the year after in Howrah, the suitcase broke, you know, ripped apart, and I'm by myself, all my stuff is inside. And because it had happened before, you know, I said, okay, never mind, chant Gayatri. I just sat down and chanted Gayatri and said, just cool down, you know, let it be. You know, I waited like for 15 minutes before I did anything, just kind of, okay. And then I realized actually, well, you know, this is just Krishna's arrangement, you know, it happened to me before, it must be my karma, you know, that I have bad luck with suitcases. I'll get a good one this time. So, but anyway, then as I sat down and I relaxed, then I, you know, I could feel myself detached from the situation. And in that condition, I was able to respond to the situation in a much better way. And I actually sorted out the whole thing nicely. I put the suitcase with the, you know, they keep the things there in the station. When I got a taxi, I went to this really rinky-dink market. And there in the middle of nowhere, and I got a fantastic suitcase. So Krishna kind of arranged it. But anyway, just like we find like so many circumstances, this is all of course like a minor thing, but we may find like major challenges in life, major challenges, and if we haven't faced them yet, wait, they'll come, you know? It's guaranteed. So it's the same thing. We have to, you know, do what is right. And to do what is right is to take shelter of Krishna and to accept that this situation is actually for my benefit. To accept that whatever situation is going on in my life, whatever, even right now, I can be certain that everyone sitting in this room is dealing with some issue, you know, something is happening. So this is specially designed for our purification. Don't tell me that, right? No, it's not like this. But actually it's like that. It's meant for our purification. And it's meant for us to prove Krishna, who are we going to take shelter of? To prove Krishna our sincerity. Am I going to take shelter of Krishna or am I going to take shelter of Maya? And that's where the great benediction of Krishna's holy name comes into place. Because then we can chant Krishna's name with a sincere feeling. We can cry out for Krishna. Like Krishna, Queen Kunti, she prays that only those who are materially those who are materially exhausted can utter your holy name with a sincere feeling. Tuang akinchana gocharam. And Prabhupada explains the meaning of akinchana. Akinchana, he says, you know, is like materially destitute. But it also means that we are no longer like sheltering or taking shelter of the material energy. It's not necessarily that you are materially like destitute. He gives the example of two people who were akinchana. One of them was Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. He did not have nothing. And the other person was Ramananda Roy. And Ramananda Roy, he was a king. He had so much opulence. But he was also a kinchana. And what is the meaning of a kinchana? It means that I am solely depending on Krishna. So when we are in that consciousness, then we can taste the sweet nectar of the holy name. But how will we know if we are in that consciousness? Or how are we going to develop that consciousness unless we are put through all these tribulations in life where we can actually show Krishna that yes, actually, you know, whatever happens, I accept, you know, this is your mercy. Okay? Unless this goes on, how are we going to become akinchana? And then Queen Kunti said that you are the property of those who are materially impoverished. Right? Such nice prayers. Later on, in the same Bhagavatam, in the same first canto of the Bhagavatam, Bhishmadev, he is lying on the bed of arrows. And Prabhupada explains that in the purport, that tribulations, you know, inflicted upon a devotee, they are actually exchanges of bhava between Krishna and his devotee. Tribulation sent. And we can actually experience this. I mean, I have very little realization of this, but I have gone through some like traumatic experiences in Krishna consciousness before. And now looking back, I can see how Krishna was there, you know, protecting. And how those experiences so much intensified my relationship with him. That, you know, I wouldn't have been able to, you know, develop such a kind of a eagerness, you know, for him if I wouldn't have been put into that extreme situation. So, and this goes on. And what is the result? The result is, as I said, is that we have to become free from the material fever. The material fever is, I am the controller, I am the enjoyer. So by going through these circumstances, we become free from this misconception. I am not the controller. I am not the enjoyer. You know, things are going on around me. I am here. Success in life really means that I am taking shelter of Krishna. That's real success. And as we go on, we become free from this misconception that I am the controller and the enjoyer. The reason why we suffer when these tribulations come along is because I am under that, you know, mentality. I'm thinking things shouldn't be like this. I acted like this. Why things are going like this, you know? What kind of reciprocation is this? But this is false ego speaking. It's nothing else. So then, you know, through the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, then we can actually become free from these misconceptions. So that's one side. Prabhupada makes so many nice points regarding the importance of Sankirtan Yagya. Now, of course, he speaks about the benefits of chanting the holy name. First, we become free from these misconceptions. Lord Chaitanya, he explains how by chanting Hare Krishna, we can become free from sinful reactions. And we can also become free from... we can actually develop love for God, and we can purify the heart from the tendency to act sinfully. So Prabhupada says that the holy name of the Lord, Haranama, is so powerful that whether it is chanted jokingly or seriously, the effect of vibrating this transcendental sound will be equally distributed. So, will be equally distributed. So, what is the meaning of this? Are we all experiencing the same nectar of when we chant the holy name? Everybody experiences the same taste by chanting Hare Krishna mantra? Yes or not? No, huh? So why not? I can hear. Okay? So we have got different attitudes, right? Different people have got different attitudes. Prabhupada describes in the Nectar of Instruction that advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the follower. This is one of the classic statements, right? Advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the practitioner, right? But, you know, these words are so encouraging. He's saying that, you know, the holy name of the Lord is so powerful that whether it is chanted jokingly or seriously, the effect of vibrating the transcendental song will be equally distributed. So, it seems to me that what's happening is that, you know, depending on our attitude, we will be able to appreciate the holy name, you know, according to what is our consciousness. But the mercy is coming. Krishna is giving himself through the holy name. Eh? Kali Kale Nama Rupa Krishna Avatara. What is the result of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra? The one will gradually realize that there is no difference between Krishna and his name. But that realization is going to depend on the attitude of the follower, of the attitude of the chanter. So what is the right attitude? How do we chant Krishna's name with the proper attitude? So we experience Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya himself, he explains, Tinada Pisa Nichana, Tarura Pisa Hisnuna, Marina Manadana, Kirtaniya Sadahana. So one must develop humility, one must develop tolerance, respect and pridelessness. These things are there. So this topic of tolerance, we can see also in Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna is describing the different qualities that endear one to him. Advesta sarvabhutanam maitra karuna evacha. Nirmamo, one who is not envious but is a kind friend to all living entities, who does not think himself to be a proprietor and is a friend to all living entities, he is very dear to me. What is the other? Samo sachyotamiti chamiti chattatamana apamana yositosna sukha dukesu sama sanga vivarjita tulian indastutir maoni tantustra jena kena chit. Anyway, in all those verses, this point of becoming equipoise, becoming equipoise in duality, becoming tolerant, chami, becoming you know, equal in sitosna, heat, cold, happiness and distress. They're repeated, you know, just in a few verses, within 8 verses, you'll find this quality is repeated like about 3 or 4 times. such an important thing. And Prabhupada said, Krishna says in the Bhagavatam also that what those who are treat others with tolerance, with friendship, with equality, they please me. I become very pleased with devotees like this. So this is the platform we want to come on. That we're no longer so much disturbed by external circumstances, but actually we have respect for all living entities, never mind the devotees, for all living entities. That we have actually a friendship attitude. That's another quality that appears so much. And then when one is in this consciousness, then he can chant the holy name and derive the ultimate benefit of the holy name, which is to actually develop love for Krishna, to experience Krishna. So, of course, a lot could be said about the importance of performing Sankirtan Yagya. But I'll just read what Prabhupada says, and then we can finish with that. It says that the members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement should perform Sankirtan Yagyas one after another, so much so that all the people of the world will either jokingly or seriously chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And thus they will derive the benefit of cleansing the heart. And we can see the effect. I mean, we just have this Kirtan Mela recently here. And you can see how the whole community became united for hours. Eh? Different groups, different nationalities, and, you know, different, like, kind of, you know, trains of thoughts. But everybody came together for a few days. And we see this in our preaching. I used to preach in England, in the north of England, and we would do these Hare Krishna festivals regularly, and you know, all kinds of people will come, you know, like rich, poor, like, you know, all kinds. And I remember the highlight of the preaching will be the final kirtan, you know. Everybody will join together and dance, no matter who they were, yeah? And taste Krishna consciousness. Such a simple formula Prabhupada gave us. And it works for devotees, it works for non-devotees. Yeah? People become united in this chanting. So we should take advantage. The special benediction in this age, particularly here in Mayapur, is that by chanting Hare Krishna mantra, one can derive the ultimate benefit. Prabhupada described so many times that all that is unauspicious within the heart can be cleansed, root out forever. And people become favorably disposed to the chanting of the holy names. We have this when I was preaching in Scotland, we had this Goranga campaign. You know, we were spreading the name of Goranga. And, you know, the response that we will get from people, because they didn't know what it was. Yeah? What is it, Goranga? You know, Goranga was pasted everywhere, in motorway bridges, and, you know, like, we will get people to say it. And it became so popular that one computer game, the number one computer game in the world, which was Grand Theft Auto. Yeah? This computer game, those who are into computer games, probably will say, no, I don't know. They were going to make a film out of it, you know, so famous. Number one in the whole planet. So when you complete the game, there is some monks in the game. And you run over the monks. And guess what happens in the picture, in the screen? It comes, Goranga. Number one computer game, Goranga. So they came with the second part of this game. Yeah? And the second, I think there were like four parts. And the second part, you know, you have usually this keyword so that you don't get killed in the game. You have like a special mystic power that, you know, whatever happens in the game, nothing happens to you. So what was the key word?
Goranga.
How do I find out, you know? It was in a computer magazine, the number one computer magazine in the UK. And then they had this, it was a cartoon, you know? And there was these guys wearing tilak. you know, in the magazine, you know, when it was like a modern kind of tilak, but it was tilak, you know. So we can see the magic of, you know, the holy name, you know, is such a powerful thing. And Prabhupada, he himself, you know, he has so much faith in the holy name. And that was, his success was due to his faith in the holy name. There was one time that, I think it was Akinchana Krishna Maharaj, Prabhupada's god brother. And he says that Prabhupada has so much success just because his faith in the holy name of Krishna. So much faith. And this is what is being reflected in this verse. Even chanting jokingly, it will have an effect. People will become purified. Like all these people in the UK and probably all around the world, they're chanting Gauranga. You know, I was doing book distribution. And people will say, no, I'm not interested. They will run off. And before they were running, I say, okay. Can you say Gauranga? And they say, they stop like, phew. You say, what? And I say, can you say Gauranga? Say, what is it? You know, what is it? And I say, it means be happy. You know, he said, can you say it without smiling? And they were like, Gauranga, they smile, you know. I say, I've been seeing it everywhere. You know, what is it? You know, automatically attracted. They don't know what it is, but immediately attracted to the holy name. So the formula is very simple, and we have to also apply ourselves. I wanted to have spoken a little bit more about, you know, the different types of anarthas and how, you know, the you know, like Lord Chaitanya, he described the six astaka and how, you know, the Sankirtan, you know, is like the rays of the moon, right? They open the lotus of the heart. Yeah? But these rays are kind of why are we not like experiencing the nectar of this chanting? And then we have to look within our hearts and see what is this. Mata, you were saying the different, what is our attitude? So we have to develop the right attitude in when chanting. And personally speaking, I was saying before that sometimes, you know, being through like difficult situations in Krishna consciousness, I really took shelter of the holy name. And you know, the storm kind of, you know, cooled down. Vishnu Yam, he asked Prabhupada, he said, "See, how is it possible for the householder, you know, to think of Krishna and to chant Krishna's name? He's got so many things going on in his mind. You know, how is he going to be able to chant the holy name at the end of the day?" So he was asking Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, he said, both things will go on. He will, you know, he will just, he has to chant. And, you know, all these disturbing thoughts will be there also. He said, but the holy name will win. Krishna's name will win. Eh? And I remember, you know, being very disturbed. You know, when you're very disturbed, you can really, you know, focus, right? And if you just chant, your brain out, you know, like without counting your rounds, just chant. And the whole thing goes out. You think, well, what was that all about, right? But the tendency is that we may not do that. So we have, these verses are there to encourage us that chanting the holy name, even in a disturbed circumstance, we can derive the ultimate benefit. Okay, so I'll stop here. Thank you very much. Prabhu, microphone.
You're saying how the in Kali Yuga things are deteriorating, and we often hear that this modern materialistic society is deteriorating, that it's going to collapse. A lot of devotees have talked about the sort of doomsday predictions of the whole civilization coming to some kind of destruction, and we wonder how we can apply the idea of how can we apply depending on Krishna, when we seem to be at this point completely dependent on the modern society, like the whole temple of the Vedic planetarium seems to be dependent on the whole materialistic society, that you know, there's money coming in from outside, and then there's, you know, the money has to be valuable, the rupees and the dollars and the euros all have to have a banking system that we're dependent on, that works, and that the, you know, our airplanes are able to bring devotees in and out of Mayapur, the buses, the cars. We're dependent on this society seemingly in every way, from the TOVP down to Hari Bol Prabhu's job as a software engineer in Pune. Everybody's dependent on this. So how we depend on Krishna when we seem to be completely dependent on the modern society and its functioning?
I think it depends on your perception, on your vision. Eh? Actually, there is nothing separated from Krishna. This is also Krishna's energy. And by using these things, we are using Krishna's energy in his service. So the money that is coming here for the TOVP, you know, is Lakshmi, engaged in Krishna's service. And we are depending on Krishna for our execution of those, you know, Prabhupada's desire to build this temple. So, you know, Prabhupada said, you know, like he was explaining, like, you give me, you know, like this is a little bit like the Mayavadi conception that, no, we don't have nothing to do with the material energy. But actually Prabhupada's mood wasn't like this. Prabhupada's mood was that we engage in material energy in Krishna's service. So at the moment, taking on our side that we may not be self-sufficient in the sense that we are still taking things from the, you know, like outside modern society. But we are using them in Krishna's service. So depending on Krishna is not something external, I think. It's something internal. You know, in my practice, in my life, you know, like you can go to work, and then you carry out your duty while you're doing your work there. While you're doing it, are you depending on the person who is paying you the salary, or are you in Krishna consciousness thinking that actually, well, this is what I have to do to maintain my family. This is the situation that Krishna has provided for me. Is it the best situation? Is it not the best situation? Krishna, you please can adjust the situation so that I can serve you better. Anyway, that's, you know, it's a matter of perception. There is no, you know, Krishna's place clearly in the Bhagavatam that, you know, when one sees things that, you know, appear to be not related to Krishna, this is Maya. This is the illusory potency. So the expert person, the devotee, he sees everything in connection with Krishna. And the advantage in Kali Yuga, in this age, is that we can turn the switch from seeing all these disturbances that are coming our way, all these apparent, you know, like unfavorable things, unfavorable situations, change the switch that actually this is Krishna's mercy for my upliftment, that Krishna is making this arrangement for my benefit. And if I respond to this situation properly, then I will become elevated. And the vision of the Mahabhagavata, he sees that the whole world is perfect. There is nothing unfair. I was discussing yesterday with one devotee, and I was saying, you know, it's, you know, why can Lord Chaitanya only comes in Kali Yuga, and, you know, why does he come, you know, why it's not happening all the time? And, but then we thought, you know, actually, it's not depending on Lord Chaitanya coming Kali Yuga. It's depending. We are in the situation that we deserve to be. We have, you know, the tendency to kind of put the responsibility on someone else, but we are in this particular situation now because us, and it's up to us to actually get out of this situation by taking by depending on Krishna. So that's as much as I can offer. Thank you. Namaste, Guruji.
Just a quick point on his question. If we didn't have modern society and all of its craziness, then the suffering and the intensity of the harassment from the material energy would be less, and there wouldn't be as big an impetus to take shelter of the holy name, and we wouldn't make as much advancement. So still, using it in Krishna's service is there, but it's like there's so many cyber kleshas when you use a computer. It's just crazy, you know, how so disturbing sometimes, how things don't work the way they're supposed to. But that's just part of the harassment of the Kali Yuga, which is part of the Yuga Dharma, you know, so we can take deep shelter. The question I had was, you're describing how when the big tests come, when we're really in a distressful circumstance, that Krishna's coming to help us. But history in ISKCON shows us that those times in many devotees' lives is when they decrease their service, decrease their taking shelter of Krishna, and take shelter of the material energy. So, how is it, how can we prevent that from happening to us? I mean, I can cite one example that indicates that this is a widespread phenomenon. I've told this story before when I give Bhagavatam classes, but Vyasaki Prabhu, in the 2 years prior to the centennial celebration, traveled around the world with his wife and visited over 600 devotees that had stopped practicing Krishna consciousness. And they all had similar stories. One, they all still, these are Prabhupada disciples, they all still had great love and respect for Prabhupada. But somehow or other, they were unable to accommodate the philosophy that's presented in 10.14.8, Tatenu Kampam Shukshamikshamano Bundrane Vatma Kritam Vipakam Ridvag Vapabir Vridan Namaste Jiveta Yo Mukti Pade Siddhara Bhak, which essentially describes how we should deal with suffering, internalize it, and use it as a source of upliftment and coming closer to Krishna. I won't go into the whole philosophy there, but what I'm wondering is how can we avoid becoming victimized by our minds, and in these situations where the test is super heavy. This is a common occurrence.
Sadhu Sangha. Strong association. There will be devotees who have been through the same situation before, or you know, we are kind of overwhelmed by the situation. So we take shelter of the devotees. It's simple to say, but actually the practice is very, we're speaking these are very high principles, and actually what will happen is that we'll become disturbed, we'll become shaken. You know, it will be like, it's not that you're just going to be, you know, your response is going to be immediately as we were describing here. That's part of the training. That, you know, you become disturbed, you become like lost, you don't know what to do, you go through a period that, you know, things don't make sense, you know, it's, but through that, Krishna is working internally. Huh? What it says here, imperceptible, just to bring it back to the purpose, imperceptible auspiciousness, if the devotees need to leave, please leave because it's getting late. Imperceptible auspiciousness achieved in this connection should be continued all over the world. So, you know, like the Lord is working through us, through all this internal turmoil. The purification we're undergoing is, we are not even aware of it, you know, what's happening. You are only aware of it after you have come out of that period, that storm. So it's not necessarily that you respond is immediately, that, you know, you're like more inspiring. Krishna, oh great, you know, my guru left, fantastic. I'm, you know, it's not like this at all. You have to do a lot of internal work, and that may take years. Now, how to do it in such a way that you don't break is your question. So then you have to take deep shelter of the devotees, particularly senior devotees, who may have gone through much more traumatic experiences than you have. And I get you to see, to separate yourself from the situation. At the moment, at the time, you're thinking like, well, how or why? You know, the usual question is, why this happened? You know, why? But you know, the whole material situation is designed for creating disturbances. The material world is designed to disturb. It's nothing surprising that we are having difficulties, that problems are going our way. Sometimes what happens is that, you know, the curtain of Maya kind of seems to kind of open a little bit, you know, when we're going through this. And then it's like almost like you realize actually Krishna is smiling, you know, with Radharani. He's, you know, completely above all these things. And we are just being, we are just suffering due to us being completely engrossed in material consciousness. Completely a way of thinking that I am Krishna's eternal servant and that he is making these far-out adjustments for my upliftment. It's all, you know, it's another, you know, book distribution, you get so many realizations. And I remember one that threw me after many years, you know, that I was doing book distribution and I would get upset with Krishna, you know. I say, you know, I'm here and, you know, I chanted my rounds attentively this morning. I was nice to the devotees. I got up as soon as I hear the alarm clock, took shower quickly, you know, I did everything perfectly. No one's stopping, you know, why is this, you know? I'm being nice. And it was, this was going, and you know, it took me years to actually realize that Krishna was purifying me through these things. Through that, you know, that, because see, those who have been out on book distribution, it can be actually devastating being out there and people telling you to get lost for hours, you know? Is not a very tasteful experience. Eh? By the end, you can be like really depressed if you are not in good Krishna consciousness. But then after a while, then you actually, you can be blissful in that circumstance also. So, Krishna is purifying us. Krishna is making these arrangements for our upliftment. It's so hard to see. Krishna is so merciful. I say, well, you know, he's so kind. What is Krishna saying in the Bhagavad Gita? He's the most dear friend. He's the most dear friend. You think he's going to do something for you that is bad for you? These devotees who have drifted away, they'll come back. We don't, you know, like Krishna has got the whole picture. Right? We're just seeing like a little fraction of that picture. Krishna is working through these people. And we've seen it. So many have come back. Is it not? Okay, devil's advocate.
So here's what makes it really challenging. In this story I told about Vyasaki, most of the devotees that stopped associating with this kind of stopped practicing, they became just, their big test was those that they were taking shelter of were dealt with them very, very unlovingly. And they became like maybe their temple president, maybe they're like that. So the very thing that they should do is take shelter of devotees. They're discouraged from doing because they've been taking shelter of someone and then they dealt with them so roughly. You know, this was the left hook, you know, that knocked them out. So could you respond to that one?
Well, I sympathize with these devotees. And, you know, I relate to that. I experience that also. But again, you know, it comes to the same point. It's not my fault. It's someone else's fault. You know, we have to own the problem. We have to own the problem. We are the ones that we came in the first place to this material world. We are the ones in the first place that, you know, are not treating other devotees properly nicely, you know. We may have also done that to other people, you know. We are just getting
what we this? I mean, this is the whole concept. Krishna, you know, the whole world is perfectly working, functioning. And these things are happening. Okay, fine. You know, it's unfair. You know, I got abused. So many things have gone. But ultimately, and this is, we see this. This is why it's so important to study the Bhagavatam. Yeah? Because the Bhagavatam is full of stories where we see devotees' lives, devotees going through like extremely difficult circumstances. And, you know, everything works out for their benefit at the end. Krishna is helping them. I mean, we hear about the Pandavas, right? We always hear before the Pandavas were enthroned, right? But what after they won the Battle of Kurukshetra, what happened? Yudhisthira Maharaj was so depressed. He was so depressed that even Krishna could not lift him up. He was so dejected that millions of people have died for my sake. And I knew it before. I followed your instruction. It's the same. Krishna was like their guru. He could have said, you know, I follow your instruction. And look at that, what happened to me now. Eh? I'm completely miserable. And I look at it. And now you can't preach, you can't even preach to me. He could have reacted like this and go away. Right? But he didn't. And then Krishna made a wonderful arrangement so that Bhishma will preach to him. And then what? He ruled the kingdom for like short 37 years or something. And then what happened? Shortly after, actually, he became enthroned. Arjuna came from Dwarka. And when Yudhisthira saw him, Arjuna was looking, he had tears in his eyes, he was pale. And Yudhisthira, he was so... Yeah, like he knew because Narada Muni had already hinted that Krishna had disappeared. But he was asking Arjuna about the cause of his dejection, which he knew what it was. What was his dejection? Krishna had gone. But he couldn't say, he couldn't ask that question. He couldn't ask Krishna, is it that Krishna has left? You see the whole chapter in the Bhagavatam. You know, Yudhisthira said, is it you didn't give morning charity? Is it that you didn't give protection to someone? You've been defeated by someone? He's asking all the indirect questions. He himself, he cannot ask Krishna. You know, he couldn't ask Arjuna because the separation, the pain he was suffering. And then later on, Dhritarashtra leaves. Later on, at the end of his kingdom. And again, he was so demoralized because he was under his protection. So these are examples there that, you know, like that's reality tours. That's reality. This is what you have to go through. Like that wonderful purport to that verse, 10.14.8, he says that the purification process has to be like, you know, like fire, you know. So we actually, you know, become purified. So these things that are happening, they're usually like a big, you know, whoever passes those tests, they come out a lot stronger in their spiritual lives. So it's the same. Krishna, Maya, the internal potency and the external potency are the one, are only one. It's how you respond, is what determines if it's external or internal. The same energy is happening. I mean, again, I'm speaking this, it's easy to say. We face with these circumstances all the time and it's so hard. But we must understand at least philosophically and discuss it and then, you know, put it into practice. But of course, Maya hits hard. You know, hits where it hurts the most. Yeah? It's like obstacles. Like Radha Swami says, an obstacle is that what you don't want it to be there. Then you know it's an obstacle. We're thinking, oh, you know, like difficulties is something, right? We can't do that. But an obstacle is that the very thing that you don't want to face. And that was Krishna is going to put you right in the face. You say, okay, you know, is it not? I mean, it does to me all the time. And it does to all of us. And I just thinking, yeah, back up to the question Prabhu said, you know, about the material world, that, you know, like going back here, Mayapur is a bit like the middle, the spiritual world. When we come to the West, we can see how, you know, difficult and, you know, like, what's the word? Like, extreme suffering and circumstances that people are under in the material world, and you know, to take shelter of Krishna, it almost, you know, becomes like you were forced. Actually, I was forced when I came to Krishna consciousness. I was burnt out completely, you know. So it works to our advantage. Was that question answered? That's as.
Really nice point. That the Acharya Gopi Prandhan quotes in the purport 10.14.8. The Acharyas make the point that just like a father sometimes will chastise his son and slap him, and sometimes he'll give him a laddu, but the son always has faith that the father is acting in his best interest. So that's the kind of mood that the devotee has, you know, whether there's just all bliss and everything's going great. Krishna's sending that, but he's also sending extremely difficult and challenging circumstances, but the same loving father, same mood of helping the son progress in Krishna consciousness.
So this is the principle I was trying to establish when I was saying about the Bhagavatam, that, you know, this idea that whatever is happening to my life is for my benefit. We have to develop that conviction that Krishna is my friend, and whatever is happening is for my benefit. That conviction must be there. And that we gain that through Sadhu Sanghas, Senior Devotee Association.
I would add that it's the Sadhu Sangha comes from Sambandha Gyan that the Sadhu has. And you know that you connected our preparation for this by seriously studying Bhagavatam. So the actual qualification ultimately is coming from Shastra to pass these tests. You know, Guru gives from Shastra, Sadhu gives from Shastra, and Shastra's coming directly from the Lord. And you know, so that if we're well prepared, this is a plug for serious Shastric study. If people really study Prabhupada's book seriously, when the test comes, they'll be ready for them, and they're inevitably going to come. And this is in the letter that Prabhupada had to Mal Krishna Maharaj write, that established the Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhava, Bhakti Vedanta, and Bhakti Sarvabhuma examinations. One of the main points was the devotees, due to insufficient philosophical understanding, were becoming weak and falling down. So that precipitation of fall down oftentimes comes because of these extreme circumstances that they're not adequately prepared for philosophically to handle.
Yeah, and just to bring it back again to the purport, because we're talking about Sankirtan Yagya, that the, you know, one of the anarthas, okay? One of the anarthas is ignorance of spiritual truths. There are four types of anarthas, right? The mist that covers the rays of the holy name. And it's lack of knowledge, or ignorance of spiritual truths. And one of them is this, is Sambandha Jnana. Who am I? Who is Krishna? What is my relationship with him? And also ignorance of unfavorable things for devotional service. So they both go together. Prabhupada says, both go together. We must ultimately take shelter of the holy name with the proper understanding. Just when I read this purport, I was reading so many things about Sankirtan Yagya. Immediately, this morning I was chanting with so much more energy because I was, you know, like more aware of the potency of the holy name. So, you know, then Krishna, you know, becomes manifest in which he said we have to chant with faith. So that faith we develop through this Sambandha Jnana. Yeah, thank you very much for listening patiently. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.